Good morning, everybody. The readings today are firstly from Esther, chapter 4. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hachah, one of the king's eunuchs, and assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. Hathaka went back and reported to Esther that Mordecai had said, when she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they are put to death, unless the king extends the golden scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but what that you have come to your royal position for such time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or nights. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, and even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. And finally, Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. So Doug's going to come and give us a message. Come here. I'm just going to pray for you. Is that all right? Lord Jesus, thank you for the message that Doug's going to bring us today. Give us ears to hear your word and sense your Holy Spirit where you're prompting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, the theme I'm talking about today is slightly challenging because, you know what, I keep telling Bex, I don't think I'm very gentle, which is okay. But today the theme we're talking about is about meekness. Using your strength to fight for the marginalized or to speak for those who have no voice. Who is on your heart this morning? Okay, so for 1 minute, put your wants aside, your stuff aside, and think about it. Who does your heart melt for? Particularly wanting the best for them or wanting something great to happen for them. They may be in great distress. Do you have anyone in your mind? I'll give you just a moment. We read these words here. Go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Now, this is Esther saying to the people, her people, fast for me, okay? And then says, do not eat or drink anything for 3 days and night and day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Selflessness. I will speak on your behalf, even though I'm breaking status quo. And if I'm perishing, you know what? Let it be. This is selfless. But before she was selfless, we hear her saying, fast for me. Being strong doesn't mean you're not scared. Having courage doesn't mean you don't feel like hiding at times. We're going to talk about four characters in the Bible as we focus on Esther. But these four characters are seen as either humble, but also courageous. They actually hide, even though they believe God is with them. So we're going to talk about meekness, but in doing so, I want to look at where this verse comes from, which we've read, Matthew 5:5. And the Beatitudes, he said to them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He's saying, actually, you who is poor in spirit, who knows that nothing in this world can satisfy. God says, you're blessed. It's not about how many likes you've got on social media. It's all about you realizing that in myself, I'm not good enough. I need something outside of myself, something divine to sustain me. You're blessed. Then secondly, if you mourn, if you see what's going on around you and you're just not comfortable, your heart grieves, you don't feel at peace and you mourn for the kingdom of God to come. Look at what's happening in Gaza. Look at what's happening in Ukraine. Look at what's happening in South Sudan. Look at what's happening in the nations of the world. Look at the homeless. If you think there is something in your heart that makes you wail, you're blessed because you're seeing the kingdom of God should be here, but it's not yet. So you groan. And then it goes to the third point, which is blessed are the meek. So the context is that you recognize that there is nothing in this world that can satisfy. And there's something about this world that is painful. And your response is, I grieve God for this. So we're going to talk about four characters. One is Moses and Miriam for the M. Then second one is Elijah and Ahab. Then there is Esther and Mordecai. And we're going to finish with the king. Does anybody know who Elijah's parents were? So the Bible actually doesn't tell us a bit about who. In fact, some people think maybe Elijah was actually an angel, came in flesh, because we can't see his parents talked about anywhere in the scriptures. And then his death also, he didn't die a physical death, so the Bible says he was taken up by a chariot. So this guy was pretty courageous, but also his coming and goings leave questions to us. And then Moses is the same, actually. The way Moses came into the palace of the king, it's quite powerful in that a baby put in a basket to float on the Nile. Some of this stuff is actually hard to comprehend. And then we'll talk about Esther, because what we know about Esther is the fact that she was orphaned, and then she was an adopted daughter of Mordecai. She actually disguised her real identity. She didn't say to the king Ahab at the time that I'm Jewish. She actually hid her identity. So I start by saying meekness has something to do with emptying ourselves of all pride, recognizing that we're not good enough, and then in that posture, approaching the throne of grace and ask for mercy for ourselves and for all those around us. Jesus on the cross, he said, don't cry for me. Cry for your children and your children's children and look after one another. He's actually pleading to say, none of you are good enough to achieve all that I have in store for you. You're going to come in a posture of meekness if you're to inherit the world. The leaders of the world today are flexing their muscles. One rocket flying, another rocket flying, and we're all watching from the sidelines. God is saying it's not how you inherit the earth. Let's take example of Jesus, who being in his very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. There is something about God that invites us. There's something about God that drives us out of our self-indulgence, that forces you to say, I want to serve. I want to go on the streets and help. I want to do something different. I want to serve. There's something about God that invites us to live differently. When everyone is amassing wealth, God is saying, share the little you have with your neighbor. Going back to this 4 points, if you ever forget what I'm saying today, Moses runs away. He literally runs away. An Egyptian is mistreating someone who is part of the Jewish community. And guess what he does? He goes in and deals with it. Bible says he kills this Egyptian and buries the body in the sand. Then a few verses later, he sees two Hebrew people fighting. His heart is not just, I will only fight for my people. He chooses to say, even you who are my people, if you're fighting, I'll come and challenge you. He challenges the two Hebrew people. And then they tell him, hey, do you want to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? This message goes to Pharaoh, or the king at the time, and then Moses has to flee. Moses runs away. Bible calls him the most humble, and yet he runs away. Elijah, we read about Elijah in the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17. It says, verse 1, it talks about that at the time, Elijah came to a people in Israel, but at the time of his coming into Israel, there had been numerous kings of Israel who had done evil before God. And that's the context within which Elijah comes in. He gives the word of God and says, there's not going to be any rain for about 3 years. And then as soon as he's given God's word, he then hides. You can hear God and still feel scared. So if you're here and you're Christian, sometimes when you talk about like, God is in you, you're like, yeah, God is in me, so I shouldn't feel nervous. I'll be honest. The fact that you're feeling nervous and you still choose to stand up and serve shows that the power working in you is not from you. So Elijah, powerful as he was, the Bible says he retreats. We go to Esther. Esther knew that if she was to approach the king without being invited, her life will be over. But despite that, she goes forward. Now, some of us may feel like we're not good enough. The stuff we've gone through, how people have labeled us. Maybe we've had past relationships break down. Maybe it's been our jobs. Maybe it's been just our health. Stuff around us has defined us. Maybe it's our mobility. You feel like your identity doesn't quite allow you to fully serve before the king. God has a different word for you. He is a God who says the meek will inherit the kingdom, the earth. It's not because of how good you are, it's because of His mercy. His mercy, His grace that reaches out to each one of us, knowing that we are weak, but still chooses you. That's our God. That's the power that trumps all, because the enemy comes and displays our old self. The enemy comes and talks about what you did this morning that wasn't good. Jesus comes and says, I know each of you. I know your weaknesses, but I still choose to use you. That's why when we come to God, we come with feeble knees and allow Him to use me. Meekness. And then I can then look out for others. He's a king who shows mercy. So in talking about Moses, I'm going to read this out. This is Numbers chapter 12. Verse 1 says, Miriam and Aaron rise up against Moses. They say to Moses, guess what, Moses? We also hear from God, not just you. Then verse 3 says, Moses is considered the most humble of all people. Now, maybe it's Moses writing this stuff, but all we know is that he says, I am the most humble of all people in the universe. No one is humble like me. Now, it's interesting that Miriam and Aaron rise up against Moses. Moses' response is silence. And then we read in verse 4 that then God appears and summons Miriam and summons Aaron and then tells them, you know what? Prophets see visions. I speak to people, but with Moses, he sees me face to face. And then God disappears. Next thing we know is Miriam has leprosy. What happens next in verse 13? Moses doesn't stand up and say, you see, I told you God is for me. Look at me, humble. No. What Moses does, he intercedes for Miriam for the leprosy to lift. So meekness is displayed in how we respond to insults. When someone says something against you, the kingdom of God doesn't say, show them your back, show them who your daddy is. You know, remember the disciples saying, Jesus, can we call fire down on them? Can we call fire? God said, no. Do not glory that the demons listen to you. Glory that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Elijah, 1 Kings 17, they see him as the one who champions monotheism. Like he's saying, pagan gods are everywhere. And Elijah comes and says, there is one true God of Israel. There's no other. In a day of pluralistic thinking, where everyone thinks there's many ways to heaven, you can just do a bit of this and a bit of that. And he comes and says, I'm sorry. No, there is one way. And some of us struggle to say that because we're living in Birmingham, which is multi-ethnic, multi-culture, multi-faith. So the Bible says, he comes and says, no, these gods of Baal, you Jezebel, this is not right. Let's have a showdown. He came to Ahab when he knew that prophets like him are being killed. He said, I want to stand up for my God. But even in him speaking that, the Bible says he then hid. As soon as he did something wonderful, he was hiding. So you and me are like Elijah at times. And I'll read this for you. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he may die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. We don't know who his ancestors were, but what we know is he's saying, I feel depressed. Are you here and the doctors have ever diagnosed you as depressed? It does not mean you're not courageous. Because some of us, like from a Ugandan perspective, I struggle to admit my weaknesses. I struggle to admit when I am not feeling well. Beck says, I never know when you're struggling. God shows that even Elijah said, God, take my life. I've had enough. In fact, the Bible says that he was fed by ravens. Some of us here, God may have to send ravens to us. You need to hide from people for a time because God wants to look after you. Some of us have been too exposed and God is saying, I want to look after you. God wants to look after each one of us. Sometimes meekness requires us to say, we've done what we need to do. Let's just take a step back and ask God to just feed us. What aspects of Moses and Elijah's life display a willingness to fight for others? That's something we could talk about in our home groups, but there's aspects in their lives that causes us to reflect. Sometimes when we come to God in prayer, let's recognize that God of the Old Testament, and look at him, he's quite unapproachable. Same with Esther. Next slide, please. Same with Esther. The Bible tells us that King of Persia knew that if you approach me without me inviting you, even though you're my queen, you will be killed. When Esther does this, it's a life and death. So my points for me in this would be this. Mordecai wails and bitterly cries. He pleads with Esther and says, can you please go and speak on our behalf? Esther approaches the king knowing that it could be the end of her life. We see Esther scared of approaching the king. There is a different chapter that happened at the cross. Jesus said, you can all approach me. Not scared of anything. You may be feeling weary, tired, not good enough. God is saying, each one of you can approach me. There is an invitation. There is an invitation for each one of us to approach the king. A king that acts favorably. This king is not like Pharaoh, who holds people back. But he finds a way for even the worst of people on the cross. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He hears the groans of his people. This king is not like Ahab, who makes all mistakes and allows evil in. This king shows mercy. In 1 Kings 21, it says, when Ahab heard these words, He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. The next verse says, then the word of God came to Elijah and saying, have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself? God shows mercy. Each one of us here, God is saying, I show mercy to you. So come, come. Yes, you've sinned. Yes, you've lied. Yes, you've cheated. Yes, you've broken my law. I am not going to impute that on you. I'm a king who is approachable. I see who you are. So the king asks us today as we finish, what is your plea? Now that we're before the king, what is your plea? So I'm going to finish with these two questions. Next slide, please. What conditions in today's society cause you and the people of God to mourn or cry out? I think recently, I think we've had Anna talk very passionate about Gaza and what's going on there. Are there things that God has put upon your heart? These may look very different for each one of us. Can you write them down? Maybe pin them up on the wall. This week I had that, my mom last Sunday, I think she was going to church and she fell and had her back. And then I called on Monday and she was telling me she's in hospital in the morning. I'm like, I'll call you back at night. And then I called at night and I couldn't get through. I called my sister and I couldn't get through, and I panicked. So before I put the kids to bed, we're doing our prayers, I just went off on one. And I said, God, I pray for everyone even in Uganda. God, please protect my mom. So at the time of prayer with my boys on Monday night, I didn't know whether she's alive or she's not. I remember praying with hope, but with fear. And then at about 10 in the night, I got a message. Actually, after praying, I got a message. It was Uganda 10. Here it was like 8. I got a message. She said, sorry, I slept after having the medicine. But those 2 hours were painful for me. And it didn't stop me praying and rushing to buy a ticket to go to Uganda. Sometimes that's what we do. Oh, I'll go to Uganda and fix it. God says, no. Come to me and pray. So are there stuff that right now is in the 2-hour window for you, whereby you've got some news about someone who's not well, and you don't have any answer yet? What will be your plea if God invited you right now at the table? This is a table that invites us to come to God as children, and actually you can make your plea. What is it that is on your heart this morning? Meekness may be, I grieve for the state of the world today. God, come in. So I'm going to pray as the band come up. Jesus, we are sorry where we sometimes focus on ourselves instead of focused on you and what you've done on the cross. We come to you and say, a bit like Moses, we have gotten it wrong many times, and yet you've called us humble. We come to you saying, we've been courageous at times, but then we've hid because we feel tired. We come to you saying, we've disguised ourselves and not completely accepted who we are in you. And yet, we feel we can still approach you and cry out for mercy. We come to you who showed mercy to Ahab, who today shows mercy to each one of us. And we say, we got some pleas to give you. Hear our prayer. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.